Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. This is Professor Applewhite on Blog Talk Radio. If you're wondering what that great music is in the background right now, that's Tanzim Rashid from the Renaissance TV. Welcome, callers. Welcome, listeners. Let me give you our guest call-in numbers. You can log in to Blog Talk Radio at blogtalkradio.com. Or you can call in, and we welcome all call-ins. Call in at 1-646-727-3758. This morning, our topic is about faith. It's about faith between the students and the teachers all over the world. Well, what are we trying to say this morning? We're trying to talk about how we develop faith. This is our description of our show for our listeners that are following along with us. We're talking about how we develop faith in our at-risk youth and our and students of all ages, from, as the song goes, 0 to 92. I was at a graduation ceremony last night where someone 60 years old received their associate's degree. My heart was palpitating as I thought about many of the students of different ages that sit in front of me in the classroom. And I have so much faith in their success. So how do I develop that faith in our at-risk students? And I mean at-risk by different things that are going on in their social environment, their associations, and also the personal, the interpersonal challenges that they face also. And those same issues, believe it or not, face our teachers. And that's why I say at-risk teachers, because many of our teachers are suffering from issues dealing with our environment, and definitely legislation. Oh boy, legislation. I know some of you teachers that are listening right now are thinking about some of the legislative rules that have come down to restrict you from having faith in our students. School policies, regulations, and most importantly, teachers and students, are those unwritten rules. We need to understand the unwritten rules, and we know those are the ones we really need to overcome in order to develop that faith in ourselves and in our teachers and in our students. I want to add something else for us to think about this morning as you prepare to call in and give your comments. I want you to also think about the impact of teachers having faith in other teachers, okay? So hopefully at the end of this broadcast, we'll all find a way to develop a more optimistic approach, okay? And how about finding the energy, okay? Now, all of us can talk about, you know, we don't have enough energy to talk about all this student to teacher and developing these optimistic approaches. But listen carefully as Professor Applewhite says this to you. We still need to find that energy somewhere within the recesses of our souls and our spirits that says we need to get to know each other. And parents, this is for you too. We've got to stop the blaming fingers, okay? Whatever has happened in the past with all the legislation, with all the issues with teachers and students, and those unfortunate labels that are attached to all of us, we need to find that energy to say, how about this one? I love me, and I love you. And there's that old Assyrian expression of namaste that is so important. that we recognize the God light within each other. So at this point, we welcome all students, teachers, and parents to share their views. Professor Applewhite's asking you to call in at 1-646-727-3758. We have some callers on air right now, and I'll say good morning to them. Okay. Good morning, caller. Please state your name. Hello? Okay. We'll see if we have another caller.
We shut that. People shut that door. There's a lot of feedback.
Excuse me for the technical difficulties. Okay. We have a caller here. Good morning.
Yeah.
Good morning, caller. Good morning, caller. Hi. Okay. We've got some bashful callers that call in. We know last week we had over 100 callers, 100 listeners on the show. And so we respect you. Hi, good morning. No need to put your phone on mute while you're calling into the show. Hello. This is Professor Applewhite, a student to teacher. Two students. Welcome this morning. Who's online here? Who's on air? Okay, we couldn't hear you there. Just keep on hanging on. Hang on in there as we resolve any technical difficulties. You call in. Calling in this morning. Good morning. This is Professor Applewhite, and who's online?
Good morning. This is Maria Ramirez.
Oh, good morning, Maria Ramirez.
How are you?
One of our faithful volunteer staff at White Apple Institute and also one of our students. It's good to hear your voice.
Thank you.
I know that this week that you went through White Apple Institute to get a grant for you to get your hair done as
yes.
part of your plan for self-development. How did that work out? Did you get your hair done?
Yeah, but I got it somewhere else.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful. Well, glad that we could help out. We certainly want to give praise, even though you might not have used, we have one lady who, by the name, her name is Bear, and she offered to provide haircuts for all of the students for White Apple Institute, free of charge for the first haircut, and then 50% discount for future haircuts. And we appreciate you, Bear, if you're listening in this morning. We certainly appreciate you. Listeners, we ask you again to call in to 1-646. Take down this number now because I might say something that's really going to stimulate you. 646-727-3758. Call in and talk to Professor Applewhite and let us know how we can begin to develop a more optimistic viewpoint about how to develop faith in ourselves and our teachers and students. Any comments from our callers? All right, let me go ahead. I want to share with you something that I was reading from an author by the name of Gary Spence, and he wrote a book called How to Argue and Win Every Time. Interesting title there. And anyway, he talks about the fact that learning is handed down by since the beginning of time, since the beginning of what we call humans, okay? Stories. Stories are just great way for us to learn things. So I encourage you to listen to a story I'd like to share with you that brought up the topic for this show along with the input from the volunteer staff of White Apple Institute. I remember a student. He was one of the quietest students I've ever had in my classroom. With over 30 years of experience of teaching, I really remember him well. And I certainly have had my share of shy and introverted students, but this student, his name is Mohammed, didn't fall into the category of being shy or introverted. He just had this very quiet and peaceful spirit that spoke of love and let me just say, faith to everyone he met. And the few opportunities that I had to meet with Mohammed were some of the most memorable times I've had with any students. And, of course, any of the students that are listening right now know that all of you are important to me. But, of course, some of you, your characteristics stand out more than others. I remember listening to Muhammad, who spoke about his native country of Sudan in Africa, and he spoke as a teacher, a very experienced person, and I asked him, I said, did you ever teach? And he said, my goodness, yes, I taught for 15 years in his native country of Sudan. And he said that it was so important to him to express love and faith to his students. And he was very disturbed about the lack of love and faith that he was seeing in the classrooms in America. And he started here in New York and now resides in Arizona. And he gave me permission to use this story. But anyway, he spoke about the differences that he noted, and he has five children of his own, and so he listens to them talk also about their experiences in our school system here. And so as you remember earlier, listeners, that I was talking about legislation and school policy, but I also was talking about those unwritten rules, you know, those unwritten rules that say, don't get too close to a student. Be careful not to touch them in the wrong way. Don't hug them. Be careful of closing the door when you have a student in your classroom. You know, with 30 years of teaching, all of those rules seem so incredibly, for me, uncomfortable. And I hope that some of our more experienced teachers are feeling the same way. So anyway, back to Muhammad. One of the things I noted in a paper that he wrote to me, he wrote a paper about how important it is to instill faith in students and ways that we can do that. And one of the things that stuck out more importantly was the way he talked about having faith in ourselves first and in whatever name we call God. Okay, because White Apple Institute certainly respects any and all people from different religions and genders, cultures. And he spoke about this faith that we have to have in the human race and faith in our relationships with family and friends and faith in our ability to teach each other as well as learn. You know, the philosophy of this show, Student to Teacher to Student, is on Blog Talk Radio. It is about developing a dialogue between students and teachers all over the world. It looks like we have another caller coming in. Okay, anyone that wants to say anything, we have one more caller that's online right now. Good morning, this is Professor Applewhite at Student to Teacher to Student. And who's online now? Anyone there? Okay. All right, whenever you feel like speaking up, just make sure that you flag me and let me know, and just go ahead and say your name, and I'll let you go ahead and give a comment or a question on what I'm saying. Well, let's get back to Muhammad's story moment. So again, he was talking about this faith in relationships, and then he talked about faith in the administration and faith in the curriculum. Wow, faith in the curriculum. A lot of us don't have a lot of faith in the curriculum that we teach, and the students don't have a lot of faith in the curriculum that's being taught to them. And there's a number of reasons why. Sometimes we don't even explain what the expected outcome is. Sometimes we don't explain how what we're teaching is relative to real-life situations. I'm sure some of you right now are shaking your heads and saying, yeah, that's right, we don't. And I'd like to have more time in the classroom to do that. Well, Muhammad talked about the factor that we have to develop this faith in the curriculum and in the teachers and in the whole system in order to begin to succeed. Because if we don't do that, we have this kind of sour taste in our mouth, this inability to go forward. One of the things that White Apple Institute talks about a lot is faith in students as adult learners. Many of you come to the Institute torn and worn from not only the economic system, but the educational and political systems that exist. And let's not forget the religious systems that have sometimes made us feel very inadequate and uncomfortable. Muhammad said that he had faith in our success as he heard me speak about the mission statement of White Apple Institute. And he came into my office once and told me goodbye because he was getting ready to graduate. And he said something to me that stuck with me, and like I said earlier, it kind of like motivates the theme of this show. He said, Professor Apple, don't give up the faith, okay? And so if he's able right now to hear this broadcast, I want him to know that I have not given up the faith, and we are reaching out across the globe now by this show on blogtalkradio.com. New listeners have come on, and let me give you that guest call-in number again. At student to teacher to student, internet radio show at call-in at 646-727-3758. Okay, do we have any other callers that would like to say anything? Do we have a caller here? Good morning. Good morning. We have another caller coming on right now. Good morning. Okay, well, I'm going to keep on going, and I want to give you some pointers to think about. So for some of you that are really active in keeping abreast of some of the things that we talk about on the show, I'd like you to write this down. When we talk about having faith, okay, in ourselves and in our teachers, let me encourage you, talk about yourself in the classroom. Or wherever you find the opportunity, find commonalities with your students. And when I say commonalities, I mean even the simplest things. You know, many of the students at the post-secondary level or college level have children of their own, and it's important to know how they're doing. How are they doing with raising their children? How are they doing with understanding the school system at the status of their children? And then ask about their interests, and this is very important, so I want you to hear these two words that I'm going to say to you. Ask students about their interests. Parents, ask teachers about their interests, and vice versa. And be interested. That's right, I said B-E, be interested, not just act interested. Many times we act interested. We shake our heads and we say, oh, don't forget that familiar statement or greeting that we give each other. Hi, how are you? Right? We say, hi, how are you? What's the response? Come on. The response is, fine. Everybody says fine. And that's acting interested. We're acting interested. But to be interested, we turn around and say, so how are you doing with your schoolwork? You know, or a student can ask a teacher, how are you feeling about the classroom? Is there anything that I can do to become a more effective student, and vice versa? And I truly believe that it is important for us to use empathy. Now that's an important word. So this is going to be the third thing that I'm going to say to you. First, it was finding the commonalities. The second one was being interested and not just acting interested. And the third one I'm going to talk about is empathy, not sympathy. I'm really grateful for Dr. Shirley Petty, author of The Art of Mentoring, a great book for those of you who are interested in mentoring. We have another caller online. Let's see who that is this morning. Good morning. This is Professor Applewhite. How are you? You're on air. Good morning. Can you hear me? Okay. We might be having some technical difficulties because I know that we have people on air right now and we're not able to hear your feedback. So just keep on trying. Oh, hello. Hi. Good morning. Good morning. And who is this?
This is Dorothy, resource consultant for White Apple Institute.
Hello, Dorothy. Good morning to you. How do you like this topic?
Oh, I think it's very interesting. I think when I hear you talk about faith, and all I can think is how I learned about faith was visualizing. So when the students visualize the teachers, visualize themselves where they want to be, that just put a picture in their mind of where they want to be, even if it takes cutting out a picture of a catalog and putting it up on the wall and then closing their eyes and envisioning themselves in that, to that new goal that they're learning to be a nurse or whatever they're learning. And I realize you were talking about the teachers and the students, so anyway.
Oh, that is just
wonderful. Great story.
Yes, I mean, I think that you have a very good point there. As a matter of fact, it brings me back to one of the exercises, I call them enrichment exercises, that I have the students do in the classroom. and that is to kind of develop their future by looking at magazine pictures and kind of cutting them out and making a collage of how they envision their life. And so that's a very good point, is to make it even more personal, because I usually do the collage based on the environment, okay? And so thank you for that suggestion of looking at a picture of how we want to see ourselves physically. I'm sure that knowing you, Dorothy, that you're also speaking about that inner self, that inner faith.
Yes.
Now, what kind of picture would we use to kind of exemplify our inner faith in ourselves? I have one that's coming to mind, but I'm going to see if you or any of the other callers have an idea. What kind of picture would exemplify or in some way help us to envision faith in ourselves? What kind of picture would we draw up?
Well, other than the pictures I put up on my vision board for the inner part of me, I'm not sure. A bright light.
That's a shift.
Willing to shine.
Yeah. What do you have up there?
A bright.
What do you have up there on your vision board? I'm sorry.
Well, actually, I have one of my pictures is believing that that whatever I wish will come to me.
Uh-huh.
So I have the genie up on the board saying, "Your wish is my command." So,
within myself,
I just have to believe that what I'm praying for and what I'm believing will come true. And it does day by day, small little steps.
Uh-huh. All right.
I'm ready to listen to yours now.
Okay, well, I have another caller that's ready to come online. Hello, how are you? Good morning, this is Professor Applewhite.
Oh. Well, good morning, how are you?
Very good. Tell us your name, and are you from Arizona area? Or?
Yes, my name is Shalia Muhammad, and I am from Phoenix.
Uh-huh. Well, that's interesting, and you're listening to me tell a story about one of my students by the name of Muhammad. Okay, any relationship? Okay, all right. Okay, there are a lot of people with the name Muhammad, which is just a beautiful name in itself. Certainly appreciate your call. So have you been listening to the show already, or is this your first time?
It's actually my first time, and I find the topic very interesting, given the nature of the totality of the educational system as it is. It can be very difficult to have faith in oneself.
Mm-hmm.
I was also at graduation last night, and it was very interesting to hear Dr. Ross quote specific statistics regarding different groups and how they have progressed. More specifically, the graduating class comprised of 35% Asian, 24% Latino, 17% Caucasian, and 4% Black African American.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So when you talk about faith, you see the faith on one hand and the lack of faith on the other.
Okay, are you speaking of the percentages? Because we do have an issue with African American students, especially males, African American males, being involved in the. Certainly, we have the dropout rate in high school, and we certainly see a disproportionate number of them going into post secondary education.
Oh, exactly.
Right. And so that's what you're saying, that the faith is lacking in maybe that. Their ethnic group, the African American male. Okay. Uh-huh.
Exactly. So
following you.
So then the question comes, and the challenge becomes, how do we help instill faith
when I get it up
in
talking
this group?
Mm-hmm.
How do we start to instill faith and help get them to see that, just like the lady was talking about, they have that same power.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. How do we get them to have this faith in themselves to know that I can do this? Well, we do have one example now today, President Obama.
Oh, yes, very good point.
We do have that as the classic example. You know, now how do we translate that down throughout the masses? Because Dr. Ross also quoted that there was a great disproportionate amount of black and brown in the penal institution.
Yes, Yes, definitely. Yes, that's very, very true.
So we can look at it two ways. We have a ripe and fertile ground to help build our young men up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we can start over again and start implementing faith-building
faith-building process, the process in itself. And we thank you so much for those comments, caller. One of the things that was real important as I was bringing out those three points about how we can build a more faithful process, as we talked about, is number one, talking about those commonalities, and that's a very good point, even talking about black and brown students, and not to eliminate the factor that there are many Caucasian students that are in need, but certainly we see this disproportionate number that you're speaking about. And so commonalities are very important, and a lot of times we don't find those being discussed in our classrooms. Secondly, that issue about being interested, really truly being interested, and we find that many professors are not showing that interest. They act interested, and many of our African-American males and Hispanic males have this sensitivity that, you know, hey, you're not really listening to me, you know, you're dissing me, you know what I mean? I hear that a lot. And so it's really important that we build that being interested kind of like relationship. And so that leads me into what I was going to talk about a moment ago about the difference between empathy and sympathy. Listeners, I'd like somebody else to come in on this. Let me just share this with you as the last, the third of my 3 points. And that is that this expression of empathy versus sympathy, I don't think no one can say it any better than Dr. Shirley Petty, again, author of Art of Mentoring. And she defines sympathy from empathy and says that sympathy is where we create victims, okay, while empathy is a sense of uplifting a person and acknowledging their ability to solve their problems. In other words, empowering them. So I really believe, and I hope that you all agree with me, that that's the key to really establishing this faithful process or a faithful relationship between students and teachers, is to truly have empathy for each other. And many times I find that, you know, we point the finger many times at the teacher must do all of this. But remember that the teacher is within all of us, just as the student is within all of us. Okay, and so that's the key to establishing that faithful relationship, those 3 points, and I'll review those later. Let me just again give the call-in number for our listeners. We have another listener coming in from somewhere in the 510 area. Let's see if we can get that listener online. Hello, this is Professor Applewhite, student to teacher to student. Welcome to our show this morning.
Hello, Dr. Applewhite. This is Kim.
Oh, hello there. How are you? Good morning.
Hi, it's great to hear
you. And Kim, you're calling from what area, Kim, are you calling from?
I'm calling from Hayward, California.
Hayward, California. Is that near San Francisco?
That's somewhere in the Oakland area, right in the Oakland district area.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, I'd like to, do you have any comments about this faith process are we hitting the nail on the head, so to speak?
Well, I just came in a little bit, and I hope I don't get lost because I am out on an island right now. So if I get cut off, sorry, and I'll try to reach you guys back. But so far, I do enjoy some of the conversation you're having. I like the topic that you started talking about, empathy versus sympathy.
Uh-huh.
I currently work in a program with women coming out of prison
uh-huh.
who deal with a lot of the issues that I just came in on hearing you talk about as far as education and what students are getting and what they're not getting.
Yes,
and a lot
yes.
of our women, you know, that are coming out of the prison system, they're looking for the right education, especially the African Americans. And one of the things I can attest to that I see in our program is who gets jobs and who doesn't get jobs, if
yes.
you don't mind me saying. And, you know, the people who actually work in the business, you know, who are in the field is who people should be talking to because we actually know what's going on. And
okay.
there is a discrepancy and who's getting jobs, who's not, and who's reaching out, and who's getting empathy, and who's getting sympathy.
Yes, yes.
And I would like to come from that standpoint because I actually see it. So one of
yes,
the roles
yes.
I play as a clinical coordinator in this particular facility, I will not give the name actually
yes.
right now, but it is a facility that has the emphasis on rehabilitation and
uh-huh.
getting people back to work.
Wonderful, wonderful. Thank you very much for that work you're doing. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We
appreciate that.
It's a good program, but we hope that a lot of those who are in charge really take empathy and sympathy into mind, keep it into a perspective, those who
yes.
are in charge.
A very balanced perspective. Very balanced.
Hello?
Yes. Did we lose your caller? Hello?
Yes. That they
okay.
those who are in power, I was trying to say, that they actually take some time to understand what sympathy and empathy is.
Yes.
Especially for this population, because they are reaching out, especially those of color, Latino, and Black, and they really
yes.
do need jobs, but unfortunately, many of them are not getting the jobs. So
yes.
I think as a younger person, I would like to say, where is the empathy and where is the sympathy?
And, you know, that's a very good point, Carl, and I'm sure our other listeners would agree that we don't want any more. We've had enough sympathy. We've had enough sympathy. We've had enough making students, especially those Black and brown students who come from socioeconomically disadvantaged homes and environments. We've done enough with the sympathy, I'm sure you can agree, and that has continued to victimize them, to make them feel uncomfortable going forward and walking through the doors of college and any other post-secondary training. So I'm going to ask
Hello.
For a call out for you and other people listening. Hello? I'm sorry.
Yes.
I thought we got some feedback there. I want to ask for everyone listening, all the students, all the teachers, all the parents that have interchangeable roles in each of those roles that I just mentioned, that we reach out and begin more empathy. And that is, as Dr. Petty brought out, uplifting a person and acknowledging, listen to this now, and this is what you were saying, Kim, in Hayward, California, acknowledging their ability to solve their problems, okay? Acknowledging, uplifting them and saying, I know you can do this because I have faith in you. And we're going to develop this faith even more because I'm going to be interested in what's going on in your life, not just act interested. I'm going to find the commonalities between us, okay?
Right.
Because no matter where you go, there are commonalities. If we just talk about food and music and some basic things that we do in our lives, we can't ignore that in the educational system. Without further ado, we have 27 minutes remaining on our show, and we invite other listeners to call in. Thank you so much for the listeners that have come in already. Please stay online in case there's more comments that you'd like to have, because we'd like to bring on one of our co-hosts, Nazim Rashid, who I'll let Nazim introduce himself. He is just such a wonderful asset to White Apple Institute. Nazim, are you online? Hello, Nazim, are you online? Okay, we'll give him just a moment more to get online here. I think he just came on here. Wait a minute.
Yes.
Okay. You are an Apple White. Good morning.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
Good morning. Yes, I hear you now. Very, very well. And thank you for that great music that you provide for us at the beginning and the end of our show. We certainly appreciate it.
Yes, can you hear me okay now?
Yes. And you're not only just a great, you're a great musician, Nazim Rashid, and a great music educator, but most importantly, you serve the students of White Apple Institute so well, and you volunteer so much of your time to preparing for the show, and we just really appreciate you. So, do you have any comments
yes.
today about faith in relationship to your book, Connecting with Our Youth?
Absolutely. Yes. You hear me okay?
Yes, we hear you well.
Okay.
Thank you.
Good, good, wonderful. Yes, absolutely. I'm glad I finally got on here. Absolutely. Well, one thing that we have to understand is that in order to have faith, we have to have a vision of what we want to have for ourselves. And so too many times, students are lacking that vision because no one ever taught them that they can't even have a vision of anything positive for themselves. So we have to teach them to be okay with dreaming. And it's okay to look at yourself in a position where you want to be and be desirous and be wanting of a better life for yourself and holding on to that vision. When you hold on to that vision, you have faith that that vision will come to pass. And even in faith, you have F-A-I-T-H. And I see it as an acronym for feel as if the thing has happened.
Oh, wow.
So we had to look at it as feeling that it's already happened in my life. Therefore, with faith takes optimism, like we talked about last week. We have to feel that. So therefore, faith is having a sense of firm picture of your desired reality in mind You feel as if your vision has already happened. There's no room for doubt. You see, the matter is a done deal. And so people who have subscribed themselves to a religious path, who are truly believers, they know what I'm talking about. You know, if you really understand that you have to really know that God has not forsaken you, and that you deserve to have the vision you are internalizing. That's another thing. A lot of us don't feel we deserve to have the best things out here. You see? But when you deserve to have the best, you hold on to that. And then what happens is that the universe opens up ways in order to make it happen for you. So we have to feel worthy enough inside for what's deserving, okay? And so that's why we have to look at optimism, self-esteem, self-image, self-worth, self-confidence. But we can do that. But see, faith is a state of consciousness. It's a state of awareness. And it's through that state of awareness that we gain access to another experience of reality. See, that's another way of looking at that.
Now, Zane, would you do me a favor, please? Because the way you use the word faith, would you repeat that again? I thought that was just so beautiful. What did you say faith is again?
Yeah, faith. F-A-I-T-H. All right? Faith. F. Feel as if the thing has happened.
Yes. So in other words, you want our students to, excuse me, you want our students to visualize it first, right?
Visualize it first. You've got to have a vision of liberation. Even if you never have tasted it before, you never have experienced it before, you've got to have a vision of what that is for you. And it's different for everybody, of course.
Yes.
But we have to have an idea. And when you have the idea, you have to claim the idea as being yours and yours alone.
Yes.
You see? And when you put energy into an idea, the energy grows like a seed. It grows. And then when you nurture it, it becomes what you want it to become.
You know, I see that, Nazim, in our teachers. And I see that when they look out at their classrooms across America, across the world, there are those that look out at their classroom and say, oh, my God, another semester, okay? And they look out at these students, and they don't have any faith in them. They don't believe in them. And what I hear you saying, what's touching my heart, is that they need to have faith and believe that when they look at that classroom, that they already see the graduation happening of those students.
Right. Right.
Okay.
They don't see that. As a matter of fact, they see the opposite. They see the failure in the students. That's what they see. What they see. Because they're so tired of so many of the politics and the, who knows, the lack of money and the lack of support from the parents. There's so many things that are saying lack to them that they see lack in the students themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And so then they project that on students. Students pick that up, and students, they underperform because they say, that's what my teacher really wants anyway, so I'm underperform, and that's what they do.
Right. Very, very important stuff that you're bringing out to us. Any of our callers have something to respond to Nazim Rashid about, certainly I know some of you have taken that the word faith now and written that down, and you might have some comments in response to what he said. Anybody, any callers out there?
Well, this is Shalia Muhammad again.
Thank you. Uh-huh.
I'd like to say also with that, we have to remember now, faith without works is dead, no matter what the acronym may be.
Uh-huh.
And we have to look at teaching and being students, but especially teaching, you have to look at it as being a form of parenting.
Uh-huh.
Okay? And we are all parents. We are all, so a parent is that child's first teacher, first nurse, first doctor, first chauffeur, anything that child needs. So this is part of the nurturing process,
mm-hmm.
and we must become proactive. I myself, with a group of other concerned parents, teachers,
mm-hmm.
and educators, we got together and we bought a house.
Oh, wow.
And we started our own school about 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
It's called New New Moon Rising Academy. Our children did not see public school for 4 years, and it was incumbent upon each parent to participate, even if it was no more than an hour, no more than reading a book, helping out with lunch, helping out, you know, with field trips. Our children exceeded 2 and 3 grade levels above average, according to the California Achievement and the
Wow. Well, congratulations and thank you so much, Shalia. Did you say you were from Arizona?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Phoenix, Arizona?
One and only.
Okay. Well, you know, if we could encourage teachers in the public school system, I mean, your classroom is your place. Your classroom you can create. That's why we call it a self-contained classroom. Okay? You can contain things within your classroom that would do the same thing as our caller Shalia was talking about.
Nurturing.
Yes, that nurturing concept and what Nazim was bringing out about faith. Please call in to speak with Nazim. He's still online and he's still discussing things from his book, Connecting with Our Youth. Nazim, I'll say that call-in number again for you. It's 646, listeners, 646-727-3758. Jump into the topic with Nazim Rashid and Professor Applewhite. Any other callers? Okay, Nazim, do you have some things to say to bring some closure to having this faith between the students and the teachers all over the world?
Well, yeah, I'll continue. There's so much to say, but I'll say this here, that when we look at faith, faith is evidence of things unseen. It is a way of knowing. Now, without faith, one cannot know on the particular plane of reality that faith gives us access to. If you don't have faith, you're not able to see the evidence of things unseen. So actually, faith is a way of knowing. It's a way of knowing. And what happens is that if we don't have that belief in our higher self, now keep that in mind, you can't just say believe in yourself and leave it alone. You got to qualify that. But believe in our higher self and the best in yourself, if, you know, by having that and a vision of what that means for you, yes, you can have that. And then that opens up a whole other world of really reality for you. And you believe in that, and you act on that, you see, and you make a difference, you see. But you got to have a belief. Without that, you're not going to do anything at all. You know, why bother if I'm not going to go anywhere, you know? But if you know that you will cross the finish line, you see yourself crossing the finish line, you know what it feels when you cross the finish line, you feel that now, yes, you can run that race, and yes, you can beat everybody out there, and yes, you can claim the prize at the end because you've already experienced it in your mind beforehand, you see. But we
Absolutely.
Have not gone that far because a lot of times the teachers don't believe that that's the impossible themselves. So
yeah.
That's why it's so very important that they got to have the energy themselves of progress, winning, and success, and see that in the children, in the student body there, you know, and then work with them to help the students see it also. But they got to do it that way. That's so very important.
Yes, and I think that I think I heard the caller Shalia in the background agreeing with you on that. She made a point about faith without works, and you know, without getting into religious discussion, because a lot of times when you say faith, people think of religion or that you're trying to impose a belief system on them. And I think that you bring it out very clearly, Nazim, that this faith is not connected to religion. It is an inner working. It's inside of us that we have faith within ourselves. And I heard that from our other caller, Shalia, and any of the other listeners out there that want to jump into this conversation as Nazim is coming to a close here. Please feel free to say anything that you wish that you feel is important at this point. Nazim, is this one of the chapters in your book, Connecting with Our Youth?
Yes, it is.
Okay. And so callers and listeners out there, please make sure that you contact White Apple Institute, and I'll let – I think Dorothy's going to come on in a moment with some resources and and any announcements that we have for the community at large, and I think I have a few things to say on that, but please feel free to either to write us at whiteappleinstitute.org, go in and hit the contact us button, or call us at 480-659-8582. We still have about 15 minutes left of the show. Anything more you'd like to say, Nazim?
Well, there's a lot. I'm trying to watch the time and be mindful of what other people might want to say, so I don't want to take up a lot of time. I would say this, though, very important, that we are the living faith. We are the living faith. When we look in the mirror, we should see faith. A lot of times, you know, people try to find out, well, where is my faith? Where do I find this, and how do I get this? All we need to do is have a mirror. We didn't have to be here. As many people are not here today. By just being present, alive, and well, able to wake up and experience a new day is evidence of faith. Because by us being here, by us being alive, by us waking up, that means that that's a realization of a vision. You see? And so that's evidence right there. So we don't have to try to find faith or try to look up, work out, find my, where's my faith, who has my faith, give my faith back. No. All we have to do is look in the mirror and know that we're looking at faith right there. See, that's very important. So I wanted to kind of leave that little seed out there for people to think about.
Wow. If that's not an important part of planting a seed, which is what this show, I guess if you would want to say, what's the ulterior motive of you and I and other of people that belong to our staff? We're planting seeds. And even if people are not aware or comfortable in calling in as listeners right now, we know that there's a lot of listeners out there that are taking some notes. And hopefully they're listening to Nazim Rashid and they're open to receiving his book, which is right now being published. We don't have it for sale at this particular moment, but it will be available through White Apple Institute. And the title of that book is Connecting with Our Youth. By Nazim Rashid. And make sure you, if you like that music at the beginning and the closing of the show, make sure you jump online and order his album. Why don't you give your call letters, Nazim, of how to buy your album?
Oh, okay, truly. It's after the three W's, www.jazzrenaissance.com. It's one
absolutely
word, jazzrenaissance.com. .com.
All right. I hope our listeners got that. Believe me that Nazim Rashid is a valuable asset. He's a personal development consultant for White Apple Institute and is on our show every Saturday morning and with giving us tidbits from his book and instilling faith in every show, even though that might not be the topic every Saturday. We have different topics, and we still want to keep on, you know, a continuous flow of our first show, which was about when the student is ready, the teacher appears. We certainly hope that you keep that in mind, listeners, and also the factor that we want our teachers, we want to ensure that we trust you. We trust you to listen to the show. We have faith in you. We want to tell our students we have faith in you. We have faith that you will have high expectations in each other. Parents, we have faith in you, that you will have faith in your child, okay, in your teachers, okay, and in the educational system. Now, I know that's tough, and you're probably shaking your head and saying, faith in the educational system. Well, look at our president, as one of our callers noted, I think it was Shalia, who noted, look at what President Obama has done. I can assure you that he has faith in all of us, in the show. He has been already on blogtalkradio.com and given us great insight. And we hope to have him on our particular show, a student, a teacher, very soon, in the future. But we know that he has faith in us, and he has faith in the shows like this and information like this being shared throughout the world. We have, truly have, in America, have accomplished the greatest educational system. And that is why, even today, people come across the waters, okay, and want to go to school here in America. And we will rebuild. And we will be ahead, or at least in equality, with other systems that have just stayed consistent. And we've just lost a little bit of our consistency in the past. But we're coming right back without blaming fingers on anyone. No more blaming fingers. The past is the past. Let's go forward. So teachers, students, parents, please have high expectations of yourself and of each other. It's about faith. Between the students and the teachers all over the world. Without further ado, we have 10 minutes remaining on the show, and we'd like to ask Dorothy Rashid, our resource consultant for White Apple Institute, to come on board.
Oh, okay.
Hello, Dorothy.
Hey.
Hi. I know last week you
hear me?
Yes, last week you encouraged, and we heard from some of the listeners, you encouraged a number of our listeners to go to the library. And we had some feedback from that. That was great, though. Great idea.
Yes, I just wanted, just to remind everyone that the resources of, the library is a great resource for information. It's also a great resource for using internet services. If you don't have a computer at home and you want to go to the library just to learn how to get on the internet, the people there are very helpful. So I would encourage everyone or anyone who may not have a computer, they may want to learn more, just go into the library and just say, I want to learn how to get on the internet. I want to learn how to do a little research. They're very helpful. I found that very helpful. And if you want any more information on that or any kind of baby steps, so to speak, because when I took my mother to the library, it was just baby steps. Teach her how to get on and do research. Anyway, just feel free to call White Apple Institute, 480-659-8582, or just email us at whiteappleinstitute.org.
Right.
Thank you very much.
Wow, that is just wonderful. We have any other announcements going on in the community? We know right now that it is the month of June, and it's beautiful here in Arizona, our headquarters for White Apple Institute. But we have people that connect with us from China to from all over the world, Philippines, and teachers asking us about, how to make a more effective classroom. We certainly invite you to continue to either call into the show at blogtalkradio.com/students-to-teachers-to-students. We ask you also to call White Apple Institute at 480-659-8582. I'm wondering if we have, we would like to acknowledge Farmers Insurance, one of our sponsors for this show. Farmers Insurance, Wendy Duncan in Arizona. We'd like to tell you that we have a lot of faith in what you're doing and supporting White Apple Institute it just brings to mind some of the things that Faith Evans said in keeping the faith. For a moment, just to listen for a moment.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Having faith. Thank you so much, Faith Evans, for that. It just brings to mind so many things. There's so many good songs out there, and I think that one of the ways that we can begin to start envisioning, Dorothy, what you spoke about a moment ago, about having that collage, that picture of what we see. And I had mentioned that I have my vision, and I'll go ahead and share it with all our listeners out there. My vision of the faith that I have in not only this show, but in the work that that God has allowed me to do for the last 30 years is I always have faith in myself walking along the beach. I always envision myself walking along the beach, hearing the birds and the waves in the ocean. And with that, my faith is restored in creation, okay? And that's where I start with my inner self. And from there, it grows into myself as an individual, as a woman, an African-American woman in this day and age, and a professor in my own right. And then most importantly is my faith in my family and friends and in the work that I believe has purpose. And so please keep in mind, as we have 6 minutes remaining, listeners, that we ask for any of our other callers out there to say anything that has made a difference for you in the show today. Okay? Let's see if we can, there's another caller out there that I think is coming online from Hayward, California. Are you still online with us?
Yeah, actually I am still online, and I just, like to close out in saying, I like what the one brother said, that, you know, faith is feel as if the thing has happened. And that's definitely something I can leave with the population of clients I work with on a daily basis, is to visualize it. And if you visualize it, then you can put it into action. And once you put it in action, then you can see something come from what you've already put into action. So I couldn't add no more than what everyone else has said. And I wish to show a lot of luck, and hopefully one of these days I would like to donate to your project as well. So,
oh, certainly. We certainly appreciate you calling in this morning. And you know, it sounds like you've already got those three key factors that I talked about earlier in the show. Was it Kim? Kim is your name, is that right?
Yes.
Yes. And I was talking earlier about the three things that I'd like to leave everybody with, and that is that we find commonalities, and it sounds like you've done that. It sounds like you're very interested. You understand being interested versus acting interested. And it sounds like, for sure, as you came on the show and said, that you do know how to express empathy and empower the clients that you work with. We thank you for that. Sounds like you understand.
Yes.
Do you deal at all with parents in your work as a counselor? It sounds like you work with pretty tough population. You said women coming out of prison. Is that right?
Correct. And yeah, we do actually deal with mothers with children, actually. So a lot of what you're saying definitely does apply to this population, because not only are they trying to find jobs, employment, education, but they also are dealing with the factor of having their children and not having fathers. So I'm sure that would be a interesting topic for your next show.
Oh, yes. Wow. Very interesting topic. As a matter of fact, we'll consider, if you don't mind, caller, if you would log in to whiteappleinstitute.org and give us some of your ideas about fathers and their support for women coming out of prison. And we have a few other people that are involved with the Institute that are dealing with women who are recovering from drug addictions and alcohol addictions. And but one of the things that I think is real important to understand, and this is hard to swallow, this is a hard pill to swallow, is that many of the people that come to us who are coming out of prison, males and females alike, especially people of color, and from disadvantaged communities, we find them going to employers and asking for those jobs. So we encourage employers to call into our show and help us to understand how we can prepare people and have, and we encourage employers to have more faith in the factor that people do recover, people do change. And we'd like to open up those doors for discussion so that people can understand what to do in the interviewing process, so that we can put ourselves and our students in line for those jobs that are so important to envisioning ourselves as successful. One of the things that brings to mind, and I hope that Kim and all the other listeners out there, if you are dealing with this population at all in any way, that you understand that our system is not built to employ in any trustworthy position a person who has a record. Now, you know, I know that there are people out there that say, no, that's discrimination, and that's not true. But remember earlier in the show, I talked about legislation and school policies and those kinds of things, but I also talked about those unwritten rules. And one of the unwritten rules is right there on that employment application, and I'm sure you're familiar with that, Ms. Kim in Hayward, California, that it says, do you have a felony? Okay, have you ever been arrested? And many times students will come and say, what do I do? Do I answer that yes? Because the reality is that many times, especially in this economic downslide that we're in right now at this moment, it's a very difficult time. So we encourage you to encourage them and go back to, we have 1 minute remaining now, go back to having faith in the factor that the system will work, and having faith in the factor that our employers will open up some doors, having faith that our parents will encourage those that are recovering to stay on that path, having faith in counselors like you, Ms. Kim, in Hayward, California, and all the other callers that came in this morning.
Yes.
Thank you very much for calling in to White Apple Institute. We have 59 seconds remaining right now, and continue to ask you to log in to whiteappleinstitute.org. Make a contribution and also become a member of the Institute and make a monthly donation to continue this work that we're doing.
which means that we also reach out to students, teachers in these disadvantaged communities and provide them with resources, even financial resources. We don't have a lot of money right now, but we do whatever we can to help the classroom become a more effective place to learn and put people in line with having faith in themselves that we will go forward. Thank you so much for joining us this Saturday morning, and we'll be back next Saturday morning from 10 to 11 a.m. on blogtalkradio.com/students. Please enjoy Nazim Rashid.
Yes.
Music as we close our show. Thank you for joining us this Saturday morning. They listen to the show all over the world, and what happens is that they keep it in mind.
they keep it in mind, and they think about it. It stews with them. And then hopefully they come on the show the following week. And so that happens a lot.
Yeah.
So,
can you tell how many listeners?
It'll show right here. We have 131, yeah.
Oh, good.
People that review the profile while the show is on, and then they're looking for other shows too. And
so it's blogtalkradio.com?
Right, and then you can put in student to teacher, to student, and it's the number two. But you see, student to teacher.
Yeah, I'll make sure I get it before we
start. I was also looking at you broadcast. I had downloaded the station manager for that because I was thinking about doing the same thing.
We want you to do the same thing. It's important that you, and these are so many shows are on there. I saw something that said, Obama's,
But that's giving people positive feedback.
Please call back next week.
Please call back next week.
For unedited.
I hope they didn't pick it. Probably everybody hung up.
Yeah. But no, it doesn't matter whether those are just the callers. The listeners are. They heard.
That was live and unedited.
Unfortunately, we can't do anything about it. It's done now.
It's out there now. Yeah.
It's on the actual show. So. Let's get out of the switchboard here. And
hope you enjoyed it.
Well, that's just half the day is talk.
Mm-hmm. That's right. You know what I mean? You know, hey, it happened.
Everything,
you know, right?
Yeah.
I need to explain. No profanity.
Now, here's upcoming episodes. Here, and this is for next week. Okay, wait a minute. It's an archived episode. I don't think I've written in the. I haven't written in next week's episode. And here's the show list right here. You haven't been featured yet. They do the feature where they put it on the front of the show on the. Anybody logged in the Blog Talk Radio? Now this is where we were this week on 6/20. Okay, and this is where we were. Last week. Now you see where we had 13 live this morning. You didn't hear. Yeah, those are the people that were listening. Then there were 10 callers. Now you know that there were people that said anything. Okay. All right. Now we haven't been rated yet, and we hope that people will start rating our show. But you know, we just started doing the show. The call has been going on for a long time. Okay, over a year we've been having a call where they call in every Saturday, and then we've had Dorothy's been taking minutes on the show.
So who do you see on scene? They Muslims.
Nazim Rashid plays the saxophone. You've met him. But this is
and
what we have
Dorothy?
Now. Dorothy is his wife, actually. And she's had extensive experience working with the students directly that are in Arizona, and then she helps to send money.
I know a white lady named Dorothy. I don't know her last name, but she always sympathized with the Muslims. I met her through Brother Jabril.
Right.
Brother Jabril.
Oh yeah, that's who I met her through.
Brother Jabril. She was a friend of his. I was trying to catch the voice. You know, I thought it was a sister at first, but she said she's a white lady.
No, she's not white. No. Let me see if I can pull up.
This
you,
is a white lady though. That I met named Dorothy.
See if I can pull up his CD real quick for you, and then you'll see who he is, and you'll say, "Oh yeah, that's sitting."
Are we still online?
Yep, says we're still online. I don't know why. Why are we still online?
I say disconnected.
Okay. Yes, just music right there. Okay, I'm gonna just log out. Period. And now, okay.
Can I use your computer?
Okay. No.
she already had the internet. So this print, you like this print.
Okay, now it should, we should not be on line right now at all. Okay.
Well, it's, you know, I always think it would be,
I can still hear you.
Who said that?
He says, I can still hear you.
Well, you get the feedback in your office from people that was in your office.
Oh, the phone? The phone is not off. That must be it.